You thought Millard, Kyprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It only gets muddier from here. Darren Millard along with Nick Kyprios and Doug McLean at Hockey Central. Sportsnet 590 of the Fan simulcast on sportsnet.ca and the NHL Network in the United States. Today we will chat about the playoff races in both conferences, what happened last night, and the significance of this evening's action in the NHL. Plus, we will update you on that phantom goal that a lot of people were speculating about between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators on Sunday night. We have proof that it did not go in. We will bring you that in just a little bit. But time for the Hockey Central three stars. Wow. Oh, yeah. Because you know what? All the three stars directly impact the playoff races and what happened last night. And Eddie Lack.
Are you ready for this? I'm ready.
How about the Vancouver Canucks? A team that's been bothered by the LA Kings perennially, and Eddie Lack steps up, faces almost 40 shots, and he produces the victory again, and that should solidify a playoff position for the Vancouver Canucks.
So he's your first star?
He is my star.
That shocks me. Obviously, you didn't get Pavlik like I got, and that's why you went with Lack?
I went with Eddie Lack.
First?
You only get one star. Are you new to this?
But I'm shocked that you wouldn't have taken Pavlik ahead of him.
Nick?
I went with Stepan from the New York Rangers. Big night last night. Here's a guy that has really established himself as a true playmaker with the Rangers. Now in a position to win their first President's Trophy. They got some work to do, but everything favors them.
They won a President's Trophy before.
Yes, that would be 1994, okay. Darren Millard. And the Rangers were close last year, but could this be the year that they bring it home? They are a better team for no other reason besides stepping up his game. But Rick Nash is back. Look at you. Just those words.
I didn't say
just
anything.
The name of Rick Nash, and it's like
anything.
You just gave birth.
I didn't say anything.
It's best amazing.
He has been awful good, though.
Best season.
Career 42 year. Goals, right?
Career yeah. year.
Fryer was 41. His Rocket Richard is a 19-year-old.
So this is proof that he's finally escaped your shadow. His best year is now without you. He's moved beyond the Doug McLean shadow.
That's right.
Okay, who's your star?
Pavlik.
Okay.
I mean, he was,
he was perfect.
A lot of questions about him. A lot of questions about him, including questions from me all year. Was he good enough to get it done? And right now, he's given them a chance. Without Bufflin, they win two in a row. And what's he got his third shutout of the year. Pretty good time to get it.
There you go. The Winnipeg Jets with a massive victory as they start a three-game road trip. Anders, and then you've got Eddie Lack of the Vancouver Canucks with a key win for them to move Vancouver into a more comfortable position in the Pacific Division with 97 points, and the New York Rangers put a stranglehold on the President's Trophy. I know there's a two-point gap, but they have three games to go. That's your Hockey Central three stars. The big action that you see last night between the Western Conference teams, Minnesota loses at home to Winnipeg, and somehow Vancouver gets it done again against LA. That's two in a row for Vancouver. And I can't imagine what it does to Vancouver's confidence winning these games against the LA Kings.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And coming from behind, and the situation was the Sedins. When you see that play on the tying goal, I mean, it was just an amazing behind-the-back pass. But again, you said it, Lack has been a great story. But there's been a lot of great stories in Vancouver. And I mean,
I just
like the way they've been as a group. I like their leadership. I like the way they're seen to be a together group like we haven't seen in a few years. There's a lot of good things
the
there.
Slow starts here, eh?
Yep.
For Vancouver, yet now they got this little Calgary Flame thing going on where they just get better and stronger as the game gets longer. And
you know,
best goal of the year, eh? That you saw out of the Sedins this year?
Yeah.
And, like, and clutch.
Look, Bonino starts off really strong, disappears for 20 games or so where he couldn't find the net, couldn't get points. All of a sudden, he's come back. And, you know, Verbata deserves credit. I mean, the injuries ahead on their back end, and they've come back healthy. Tanev has stepped up. I mean, there's some great stories there. It lacks the best.
And L.A. keeps you wondering. Every time you go, okay,
they've been out of it. How many
let's
times?
Go. Now it's time to put the pedal down. And
I would like to know.
Two and eight in the shootout.
Can't win in a shootout.
But Darren, I'd like to know how, of the days of the regular season, how many days they've been in a playoff spot.
It's not as dramatic as you think.
Really?
Because we had them do the research on that. Yeah. I can't take total credit for it.
I thought they would have been out more than
They've been on a bubble, but they actually in December and January were.
And you watch a guy like Kopitar, who Daryl just couldn't take him off the ice at the end of the game. He was out there all the time. And you're sitting there going, okay, how's this guy so bad in a shootout? He can't score. Last night, he goes in, and you could just see that mentally this guy doesn't believe he's going to score.
The shootouts will change.
That's keeping LA out of the playoffs.
Yep.
Let's hope the shootout
2-8.
Let's hope that changes next year. If we get the, whenever the 3-on-3 hits, does it hit right away or does it hit partway through the overtime and eliminate a lot of these teams that miss because of shootouts? I mean, it's going to help some teams.
We talked yesterday about the implementation of the ROW tiebreaker, and it was, I think, in its heart, was really designed to encourage teams to go for it more in regulation or overtime. But I don't see that happening. Do you see LA trying?
I'd like the overtime dropped, and I just like it over 60 minutes. That's your true...
Oh, regulation win.
Yes. I don't know. I don't get, like, overtime to me, an overtime win is right up there with the shootout win. Just reward the regulation win.
But
I don't understand why overtime needs to be lumped in there.
Well, because it's a win. And, you know, essentially it is a win in regulation.
So during the course of, but one's a one-on-one between a player and a goalie. One's 4-on-4.
Right, yeah. I mean, Scott Housen is the guy that put that in, and it was pretty creative thinking at the time.
But
you know?
do you get the sense at all that teams are trying to win it in overtime as opposed to a shootout?
No, I don't. And I don't sense. I sense in the last month teams are trying to get to overtime. Like, let's not blow this. Let's not lose the 1 point. Let's get the 1 point and take our chance. So no, I don't sense that at all. But I mean, it was a creative thing at the time because it did help get away from, you know, made it a little truer. And I look at it every day for the tiebreakers. I mean, you look at it every day the last month. So it's kind of an intriguing. I don't mind it that much, to be quite honest. I kind of like the fact that there's something that differentiates teams.
LA Kings may be one of those teams that misses the playoffs. The Stanley Cup champions miss the playoffs because of a skills competition. And we all agree that the LA Kings are the team that is built for the playoffs, not a regular season. If the game goes longer in overtime, they're okay with that.
Yeah. You don't want to play them.
But it doesn't play into their strength.
It's bizarre. People will send me notes like, who are you picking to win the Stanley Cup?
And LA's one of your teams in the West.
I pick Chicago, and then I'm saying, but LA.
LA.
And then, I've given that name to teams, and they may miss the playoffs.
But all the teams like LA that are trying to lock down a playoff spot have been playing playoff hockey for a while here and have got that playoff intensity. Like you watch Winnipeg and Mini last night. What a fantastic hockey game to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you're sitting there going, okay, would you not fear Winnipeg as much as you would LA?
Or Mini. You'd fear Mini. I mean, for Winnipeg Jets to go into Mini with the way Mini have been in the last 2.5 months and get that win, That's a big win for the Winnipeg Jets. It's hard
a multi-goal to win not hope in Minnesota doesn't happen.
It's hard not to cheer for the Winnipeg Jets when you watch what they did the last couple of games.
And you watch it and you watch Pavlik and you go, what a great effort and very worthy of your star. But the difference between Winnipeg and LA is we've seen those guys in California do it before. And now you sit there and go, okay, we haven't out of Winnipeg. So does Pavlik keep the magic going, or does he have one bad game and it shuts down? That's the difference, is one's proven, one's not proven.
And but now you look ahead to tonight's
action. You fear
action.
Winnipeg. You fear a team like that that just has everything to gain, nothing to lose.
Winnipeg with a big win last night starting a three-game road trip, and they turn around and they have to face the St. Louis Blues tonight. The Los Angeles Kings picking up a single point in the shootout. They turn it around, and the Los Angeles Kings draw the Edmonton Oilers this evening. Yeah. So more jockeying in the Western Conference, and Calgary at home to Arizona. So it's another massive night in the Western Conference in the race for the playoffs.
And who's going to be St. Louis's starter in a week's time?
Jake Allen.
I mean, Jake Allen plays tonight. He goes back tonight. And
He beat Chicago
right
the other night in Chicago.
Yeah, he's sort of, whereas a week ago Hitchcock said Elliott was their guy. That's how quick it can change this time of year.
Wow.
Did he screw that up?
So many factors here still.
I don't think so. I mean, that's what Hitch believed at the time, that Elliott was going to be his guy, you know? And I just think that, you know what, Elliott, they're going to need both of them.
I got one for you. Did Babcock screw it up in Detroit? Hmm? Did he mess with Jimmy Howard and his mindset right now?
I don't know. I'm telling you, I look at their guys, and there's a lot of guys that haven't scored in a month there. A lot of guys that have carried that team and are having trouble.
You know what's
scoring.
Hurt them too? Franzen.
Big loss.
The Mule.
Yeah.
And I hear he's not even close. Yeah. Not even close.
But
even get on a bike right now.
Guys, we followed the playoffs. Who would believe Detroit and Pittsburgh are in the wild card spots right now? I mean, that is unbelievable when you see that. And you know, Boston's a team we talked about all year fighting for eighth place.
So
and all of a sudden today, I know they're tied in points.
Let's look at the Eastern Conference. Pittsburgh and Ottawa tonight. They face off, and you know the significance of it when you look at the standings and you see that Ottawa is outside the playoff picture with 93 points, but a regulation win tonight will pull even with 95 with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Is it possible that
Pittsburgh has a tiebreaker, yeah. Right?
Boston would also fall into that tie.
A regulation win gets Pitt in tonight, correct?
Yes. The Ottawa Senators need to run the table down the stretch. They were at one point 19 points behind the Pittsburgh Penguins. With a win tonight, regulation win, they can pull even. And while you say Malkin, Crosby, Marc-Andre, there's question marks about this Pittsburgh defense, and there's no reason to count out the Ottawa Senators.
No one will feel it more than Jimmy Rutherford if this thing goes south.
Jimmy and Mike Johnson.
How did they fall into a position where they've now lost three in a row and potentially face a dilemma of being tied for the final playoff spot with the Ottawa Senators tonight?
And it's not three in a row. It's their last 15.
Yeah.
No, it's their last 50, Mac.
Where they've been.
Their last 50. They're a 500 hockey club.
You know, most people say 17, 19 points. There's no... With three-pointers, there's no way he'd ever catch up.
17-1 and 2 run for your goalie helps out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the most traditional run that the Ottawa Senators have been on.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Pittsburgh stumble and don't get in or get beat out in the first round, there's some major decisions have to be made there vis-a-vis Malkin. That would be the number one decision. What do you do with Malkin? Do you trade him for assets to give you more depth? I mean, that's a tough call. That's a tough call.
What would you do? What would you do?
I'd try to trade him. And hopefully,
I don't know, there just doesn't seem to be there's synergy anymore between Malkin and Crosby as well.
Can you not do a deal with the Leafs for Malkin? Is Kessel a part of it? As part of it? Not for all you Twitter. No, I'm not talking one for one here. But is that something? That would be like the Brian Burke fast track rebuild.
In some ways, they've done a good job staying in it with the blue line as decimated as it is.
Yeah.
Well, Letang is extremely devastating. Hard. You don't have that guy.
Well, in the offseason losses.
You know.
But Letang at game 50 was looking like he was the old Letang. He was playing well. Paul Martin was playing well. Erhoff is a monumental loss with the way he was playing. You know, and let's not forget Olimata, who was a major loss. They've been beat up back there.
Think about like that
and these subtractions going into the year.
But Winnipeg had a similar situation for what, 6-8 weeks?
Yeah.
Vancouver had a similar situation for what, a month, 6 weeks? You know, but Pittsburgh. Columbus.
Are they the exception to the rule, though?
Pittsburgh are right there with Columbus in man games lost.
So maybe it's not that surprising. And maybe it's not fair to put it on
any
Mike
team
Johnson.
With Sidney Crosby. Well, I'm not putting it on Mike Johnson. Surprise.
I'm not putting it on Mike Johnson. But when does it come time to go in a different direction than the two big boys? Do you say, okay, we're going to take a step back and get some great... Listen, Malkin brings big-time assets. Big-time assets.
You just can't stay healthy either.
He's had a lot of nagging-type injuries this year.
Health issues have really hurt
and Pitt. Still in the prime. He should be in the prime of his career. Him and Ovechkin, primes of their careers. Same age.
That'll be a fun one to watch tonight.
Will it ever?
You have 150 points between Crosby and Malkin.
I know.
And you're one regulation loss away from having the Ottawa Senators pull even with you. It doesn't make sense. Like, there's something missing there. And Marc-Andre Fleury, I goaltending hasn't been great lately, but Marc-Andre was...
He was pretty good.
Yeah, are they still missing too much grit? 75%
of the season.
You know?
What about the trade deadline? Did they make the wrong... decisions.
Well,
Bertuzzo out.
Well, you think about they brought in Cole, Lapierre, and Winnick.
Bertuzzo brought an element too of that. Just, you know, like I'm watching Washington go down 3-0 against Ottawa, and then Wilson starts to get involved physically, and then Ovechkin gets a big hit, and
Lovejoy as well.
It just started now with the momentum. Lovejoy. Right? Just a little bit of a turn. You know, you watched it for Washington. Yeah, yeah. They got back in the game.
One goal.
They got a point.
Yeah.
And I watch Pitt some nights, and it looks like they need something just to turn it a little bit.
Well, they get the lead in Philly.
And they don't have it.
They get the lead in Philly, and they're dominating the game. Mason stands on his head. In fairness to Pitt, Mason stood on his head, but they lost 4-1. You know, it goes 1-1. You think, well, they're down 2-1. They got a chance. They're fighting for their playoff lives, and they lose 4-1. Anyway, it's going to be fun to watch. Tonight. Tonight's games with Calgary, you know, do Calgary come through like they have all year, you know?
So, and like, you know, Ottawa falls short here. They gave up 2 points to the Leafs.
See, and the other thing is,
week.
You got Ottawa
right?
going into the
Don't
rain.
Look any further than the Leafs.
You got Ottawa going into the Rangers to play, and you're saying, okay, are the Rangers going to rest people?
Ottawa's got the hardest schedule.
But the Rangers are fighting for the President's Trophy, so are they going to rest people when they're fighting for it? You know, that's what you're scared of when you're fighting for your lives. Who's going to rest who?
But who's going to get hurt? Who's going to get hurt?
Well, that's what I mean.
Pacioretty, Florida.
You know, you got Boston. Right?
Pacioretty will not play on Thursday.
You got
Pacioretty
Boston
going to play for a week.
And you got Boston going into Tampa Bay. And you're saying, well, are Tampa Bay going to rest some key people and not risk injury against Boston? So then if you're fighting against Boston,
I'll be very surprised if Pacioretty's ready to start the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Based on?
His reaction to the hit in the boards.
Because we've seen guys take hard hits and be woozy and
no,
able to come back.
This is a little different now.
What do you think it is?
It's not just being woozy.
What do you think it is?
I think he's concussed. I think he's concussed. I hope I'm wrong. That's not based on any information
from
anybody.
Saw.
From what I saw, I saw a guy that was concussed. Now, if you follow any type of protocol today, you're in a situation now where symptom-free for a week.
7 days.
7 days, symptom-free for a week without stepping on the ice. Then stepping on the ice for what? Two or three ice sessions to make sure that you're fine. Then what? Another three or four practices, non-contact to contact, like
and going into the most physical series of all the playoffs.
How is he going to be ready? Game one.
The first round is the most physical of all playoff rounds. Typically,
the great news is there's no urgency to bring him back.
No, let him wait till the playoffs. Let him wait till the playoffs.
But we are 8 days away from the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that's if he's concussed. That's not enough time, I can assure you. Please
there's various levels of concussions.
Darren,
you know that as much
Darren,
as anybody.
You watch Pacioretty on the ice and get up.
There.
That's a guy that suffered a concussion.
That's
in my opinion, I hope I'm wrong. Maybe we find out it's a shoulder,
I hope
that's the case.
It looks like a concussion.
That's not various. That's not coming back in 8 days.
But I just said there's various...
Yes.
Levels of concussions.
You know, let's not forget the night we watched Grabowski go off with his concussion.
Right.
Never missed. What did he miss? One period? When Chera hit him? You just don't know. You know?
Yeah.
It didn't look good.
I hope he can recover as quickly as he can. But, you know, those days of dusting yourself off and shaking off the cobwebs are over.
We in the Western Conference, we
especially
look at
when you're a 40-goal scorer.
The Los Angeles Kings are scrapping to get into the playoffs. And right now they're on the outside. And Doug, you said you put them in the category of Stanley Cup favorites, and you can't criticize that, because if they get in, they may be able to do it again. But in the Eastern Conference, Detroit, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, Boston, battling for the final couple of spots. Can any of those teams make a run at an Eastern Conference championship? Is it the same as the LA Kings, or is it lucky to get in?
I don't think. I don't have them as doing damage at playoff time. I don't. I simply don't. I think the Montreals.
I question Pittsburgh's blue line. I'm not sure about. Detroit's just gone so south offensively. Boston.
The only team that you really like are the Rangers coming into game one.
No, I'm just talking about those four teams that are battling.
No,
in the West,
I know
in
that.
The West, you get in and you go,
but
oh,
I'm saying
they can do
outside
something.
Of the Rangers right now, you have question marks for a lot of teams. A lot of teams.
But I think you can make a case that Montreal could make a run of the Eastern Conference. I think Washington can make a run of the Eastern Conference. I don't mind Tampa Bay. I would even put the New York Islanders on a list of teams that could make it to an Eastern Conference final.
Yep. But I don't see the bottom teams doing any damage. You never know.
It's different. But it's different in the East, isn't it?
It's different in the East.
If Ottawa found a way to get in, you wouldn't sit there and go,
no, Ottawa,
an Eastern Conference final would be completely out of the question.
I'm thinking more of Boston, Pitt, and Detroit.
Okay.
As those three. I'd be scared of Ottawa. I'd be scared of Ottawa, but the other three.
The one thing for me with Boston is Chara not looking like Chara. And the way he's
not even close.
The way he used to just have a presence about him and just dominate. Bufflin like that we saw earlier in the year, physically anyways, not with the mobility, but physically just to take over a game. And it just now, Mac, it's one step or two step behind.
The reason I like Ottawa more than
every night, he's big mistakes.
Ugh. Then Pittsburgh and Boston, to a lesser degree, Detroit. But I like the way Ottawa runs the puck. Their transition game, speed.
Yeah.
And they bring the house when they are on the attack.
Brian has been a frustrated GM for a couple of years because he always believed they could play this way. He's always believed they could play this way. The big move is Spezza moves out. They're a different team. That's not a knock on Jason Spezza, but they're a different team. Wow.
The kids with have brought
the,
brought
with
this
the
element,
run.
Right?
For with
me,
the run.
For me, Kyle,
the way they go.
Kyle Turris going to another level and how Stone has emerged
Stone.
As
and Hoffman.
A power forward.
And Hoffman, yeah. even.
The last 2 weeks, you really notice Stone.
Yep.
If
Stone
you really,
the,
you
Stone
really
is the fourth,
notice
just,
Stone.
Just a stat. Fourth leading point producer
yep.
in the NHL since January 1st.
And
that's Mark Stone. Yep. That's as a rookie.
And it's
in
interesting.
The toughest time of the year.
When you compare the two, one's a great skater. The other guy's an average skater. The other guy's got unbelievable hockey sense. They're just, if they had the, I mean, they've got such great elements, the two of them,
yes.
and different. They're
Stone's
different
a,
players.
Stone's a shooter, right? He's a scorer.
The other game in Detroit, I think he played 23 minutes.
Sabanajad has taken a big step. I mean, there's been a group of them there that have taken a big step. Their defense. You know, Mark Mathot, say what you want, he comes back. They've been a much better team since Mark has come back with Carlson. Carlson's been a horse. Carlson's been a leader. There's a lot of really good things going
been
on
the
there.
Best defenseman yep. for
a long time.
A good portion of
so great things going
the season
on.
Now.
And we haven't even mentioned Hammond yet, what he's done. You know, and goaltending's never been an issue there. They've always had good goaltending in Ottawa. What, the last 4 years, they've had great goaltending. Mm-hmm. This guy
so
gets,
Ottawa
some,
misses,
gets some confidence.
If Ottawa misses, much like Florida right now, the Panthers are disappointed.
Yep.
But you still look at it and go, you know, we got a lot to look forward to here.
Here's the problem is it's like Calgary. When you get this close, you want in because this time next year you could be 10 out. You don't know that everything's going to...
Columbus.
You don't know how close you're going to be.
You don't know who's going to be hurt. You don't know how
totally.
Many guys.
There's
you,
no guarantees. Right? There's no guarantees anymore. Like Columbus are saying, oh, we're excited. I said, yeah, but you got to get in next year. You got to get in next year. Florida, you got to get in. Florida's got to get in next year now with the year they've had. That's pressure. That's going to be pressure on them. Do they respond the same way?
It doesn't get any easier in the Pacific Division next year.
Doesn't get any
easier.
For the
Vancouver Canucks or Calgary Flames.
No, it doesn't get any easier. It gets tougher every year. Guys, it's going to take almost 100 points to make the playoffs.
One thing, just footnote for the Pittsburgh Penguins. We were joking about this on the weekend. If Pittsburgh falls out, they go into the draft lottery. 1% chance. 1% chance to land Connor McDavid. But what I forgot was Pittsburgh's pick belongs to Edmonton.
Right. That's right. Two good picks.
So everybody, it almost be turnabout's fair play, but Pittsburgh rejuvenated their franchise on the basis of winning a lottery with Sidney Crosby, and then
no,
if they
can't
ever fall out
again,
no,
can't happen.
And they win it again,
so,
and then it goes to Edmonton.
So just a minute, is it announced as Pittsburgh winning the lottery, or is it announced?
No, it's Edmonton.
Yeah.
I know. Edmonton. So it would be announced right off.
Edmonton would have two picks in the lottery.
So that changes their chances. Their percentages slightly
yeah.
change.
But they have two. They have an extra ping pong ball.
It's no yeah. chance.
I agree.
I know.
So
oh my God.
Where in the grand scheme of things did Jimmy Rutherford seeing a lottery pick in that draft choice that he traded to Edmonton?
That's when you really want to get in the playoffs bad.
Just to avoid that scenario at all.
Just to avoid that, you want in bad.
That is.
Now, the odds are astronomical against it happening.
Yep.
But it does make it a little more intriguing.
Scenario. Oh, Jimmy. Just win, Jimmy.
Just win.
Just win.
They got to win a game. If Malkin and Crosby can't win one of three.
I mean, you deserve it.
Yeah. If they can't win one of three, they don't deserve it.
You have all the confidence in the world that they can beat one of Ottawa, the Islanders, or Buffalo.
If they don't, they don't deserve to get in.
Now, the problem, Ottawa would have secured 30th pick last night, and Anders Lindback does it again.
And Lindback, what do you make, 49 saves?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, if you're Pittsburgh going in there for the last
game,
you got to win,
guy.
And he stands on his head like Mason did.
That was the same guy in the first round against Montreal.
Different guy, I think. It's just the same name, but a different guy.
No, it does.
He didn't look like a goalie last year in the playoffs.
I'm telling you, last Wednesday.
No, he did not.
But he looked like a great goalie. When Stevie Y acquired him, he was a good-looking goalie in Nashville.
Pang and I watched him against Toronto the other night on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. And I think it was Phil Kessel came down on a rush on the left side.
And he crumbled.
He had both gloves on the ice.
He crumbled.
But he found a way to save the puck. I'm not sure he's the most refined guy in the world, but boy.
Timmy Murray made a big mistake acquiring him.
J.S. Saban. Martin Gerber. Yeah.
Now, would you just give him a chance to keep proving himself, or would you go shopping for a goalie still?
No, I'd give him a rest the next few games.
Oh, next year. You're talking next year.
Going into next season.
I'd shop. Yeah.
When we continue, we're going to be joined by the NHL Senior Vice President of Player Safety, Stefan Quentel. How has year number one been in handing out all these suspensions?
Does he do the videos like Shanny did?
He doesn't do all of them, no.
No?
Patrick Burke does a lot of them.
I've never seen them. I don't watch them anymore.
Well, you can ask him about why he did. The number one question to the Vice President of Player Safety is, why don't you do the videos?
Maybe they took you off the email list.
I'm not on it anymore. I don't get them.
Maybe that's no coincidence.
We'll chat about that. And then,
so the league took me off?
Yes.
Because I don't get them.
Yes. And then the video of that
good.
That much-discussed play with Mark Mathot and the Ottawa Senators in overtime
took you off of it
against the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's Hockey Central Noon worldwide on Sportsnet.ca, the NHL Network in the United States, and on Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks in Canada.
That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hockey Central Noon continues. Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios coming back into the studio, and Doug McLean will bring you that video of the much-discussed Mark Mathot shot from hometown hockey on Sunday against the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime. It is definitive. We'll bring that in just a moment. But first here is the NHL Senior Vice President of Player Safety. He is Stefan Quentel of the National Hockey League. Are you settled in the sense of you feel – how much more comfortable do you feel now than you did at the start of the year in this job?
Well, you know, I started unofficially last year in the playoffs. So it's been pretty good. I mean, I learned a lot, obviously, from Brendan – in the 4 years I was there since, almost there since 2011. So, you know, I'm really comfortable right now. Just, you know, getting to know the GM and not starting a relationship with them, but just to know, like, they know me and, you know, they know how I work and stuff. So it's been pretty good. Hello?
Yeah. We know that some of those conversations can get pretty heated at time because Doug reminds us all the time about how he used to treat people in the NHL office.
That's not true. Ask Coley Campbell.
Has it got heated for you this season at all without dropping anybody's names?
In the last week or so. It's been,
It's been, and that's just part of the job, right?
But, you know, I had one last week, and obviously we're, you know, disagree on the number of games, and but that's part of the job, I guess. I need to justify my decision, and but it took a while before I got my first one, but I did so.
How much lobbying do general managers do? Say, I'll use the Rangers for argument to make my point. How much lobbying because they had the victim in the Dustin Byfuglien thing. Do general managers lobby for more games to an offending player?
No, I just called Glenn and I spoke to spoke to Jim Ramsey the next day to see if he, GT was okay. But that's the extent I have my conversation. Usually, as the GM, like a medical report if there's one, and after that, it's usually there's none.
I just want to touch on that whole Byfuglien. Is it safe to say that was the toughest one you've had so far, emotionally?
No, I think my first last year in the playoff, Matt Cook was probably my toughest because he was in the repeat offender type of player. So it's really hard because there's no comparable. I mean, the Byfuglien one was, you know, the guy almost played 600 games in the NHL. Never been suspended, and there was no injury in the play, so that's what we, you know, we consider when we decide there's a suspension, and after that we look at the history, you know, if he's a repeat offender and the injury.
Stefan, general managers phone you and they're fired up. You know, I remember when Coley would answer the phone, he'd go, "Yes, Doug, I've been waiting for your call," you know, from the press box. What about owners? So they become as emotional as general managers in lots of cases. Have you been shielded by them, or do you get calls from owners as well?
No, never had a conversation, even at the governor's meeting with the owners. So, no, never had that conversation.
The pleasure. Yet. You never had that pleasure.
Hey, can I just ask one more question on the Bufflin?
Yeah, sure.
You know, it ends up being four games, but, you know, you watch it, and my first thought was in-person hearing, right, where you go five plus. You ended up with four. But is that one of those, again, decisions on even if it's going to be an over-the-phone or an in-person? Is that even very difficult to come to a conclusion even before you think about the number of suspensions?
Well, you know, when we do decide there's a suspension, after that, like I said, we look at the history and the injury. And I wouldn't say, you know, on concussion, it's hard because you don't know if it's going to be a week or 1 year. So in the past, we, you know, we usually add one game for the injury. But if it's a knee or shoulder, you know, we know it's going to, he's going to be out for, you know, most of the time, 4 to 6 weeks. So, but we don't really, usually we only have one game for the injury. But on this one, you know, there was no injury. I mean, JT didn't miss a shift. But when we do see it, we say, okay, it's a vicious cross check, a non-hockey play. You know, we decide to have a hearing the next day. And after that, when we, you know, I ask all the questions I want to Dustin, and Kevin says what he has to say, and the agent and the player association, and after that, We talk amongst us, and you know, we decide how many games.
Stefan, did Pronger just say it was a slight tap when he weighed in?
His cross check on me in the playoffs was way worse. My back's still sore.
Stefan, you look at the league. We started to see hits from behind. We've seen hits to the head. What's your number one issue right now that you would really like to see changed vis-a-vis style of hit?
It's a good question.
It's a tough question, Doug, because I think we all bought into having more speed and more, you know, and as a former defenseman, I find it really hard watching games every night when they go back to go get the puck. It's, you know, even if I'm
open season,
I'm playing with Subban and I can't, like, hold up for him. Or and I find those guys every night, you know, they put themselves in a tough spot. There's some D are really good at it. They can, you know, go back, and sometimes when they feel they're not going to get first, or they just let the guy go first and get the puck, and they just take like a Carson or Subban or Doughty. But you know, some defensemen, they just go back and they don't look around, and especially, you know, if you're a third or fourth line player, you know, you dump the puck and that's your job, right? You need to go on a forecheck, but no one's going to touch you from the red line until you get to the D. So that's what I find hard right now. I think guys are putting themselves in a you know, vulnerable spot. Yeah. And it's hard because there's no interference. But, you know, it was a good decision, and I think the game is a lot better than when I, you know, I stopped playing in 2005. You know, it's a lot more speed. You know, guys are creative on the ice, and we see a lot more skills. But but that part of the game where I find it hard for as a defenseman. Yeah.
Big Q, thanks for catching up with us. Stefan Kintell, the NHL Senior Vice President of Player Safety. Appreciate it.
Congrats on a good job, Stefan.
Thank you.
Former Winnipeg Jet. He, like a lot of those guys that were with version one, watching what's happening in Winnipeg.
What I like about the job Stefan Kintell has done, he's been really low-key. He's gone about his job. He's done it without a lot of fanfare.
opposed to like Brendan Shannon? No, it's
always been a tough job. I mean, we go back to Coley. It was in the media a lot.
Brian Burke
in the media a lot. You go to Shannon. A lot of pressure on these guys. For some reason, he's been able to.
Well, you're always going to piss somebody off, right?
Yeah, it's a tough job.
You're never going to get it right for everybody.
Not a low profile incidents.
Yeah.
Until the Buffalo one.
Right. But I think he's, you know, and look, all these guys have been tough situations for those guys in those jobs.
And if he breaks Miller's neck, it's 25. It's
unbelievable.
30. Like, that's how
serious.
That's the fine line it is. It's four games or it's 24.
Yeah.
I agree.
How do you ever got up? I have no idea.
It could have been so bad.
Here's a look. I want to show you this. And Elliot Friedman and Chris Johnson have been working on this. It's the play on Sunday night in overtime. Mark Mathot, Ottawa Senators against the Toronto Maple Leafs, desperate for an extra point. They end up losing in the shootout. And it kind of got out in social media yesterday, gained some steam, and people wondering whether or not this puck
went a slow weekend.
Weekend.
When this becomes a story.
Nick,
please.
You know how valuable that point was to the Ottawa Senators.
This puck didn't go in.
But did the league really look at it, Darren, and really do a study? Or were they comfortable after the game it was over?
League was comfortable at the time of the conclusion of the game.
After the game it was over.
I mean, when it starts being talked about,
right?
You're crazy not to have another look at it.
Sure.
But we're showing it on television right now. The puck did not go in.
No.
So conspiracy theorists... you can stand down.
It's damn close.
I don't know how it didn't hit the post.
I think was it last night? Rangers and Columbus used cameras in the posts.
Yeah, they started drilling those holes, right?
They used it last night, and I don't know if it's going to be available or not for the fans and for us covering the Stanley Cup playoffs yet, but it may be. But I hear that was pretty amazing.
Why there's some validity to a story about a puck going through the net is because it's happened before.
Yeah,
it's been missed before.
Many times.
And that's the worst nightmare. The league got it right. They got it right on the spot. Double check because that's what you do.
Are you telling me they looked at it that night and were totally comfortable
They were comfortable that didn't go in the net.
They would have to be.
That night.
Yeah.
Well, they were on others that went in the net over the last few years.
But they look at every
right?
goal.
Yeah. Until somebody called them on it.
Just to clarify, and we wanted to make sure that we did our own due diligence. It was on City TV, Rogers Hometown Hockey. And thanks to Elliot Friedman and Chris Johnson, who have tweeted that out. I've retweeted it as well, that the puck didn't go in. And Ottawa has a legitimate 93 points. They shouldn't have 94. They have 93 points as they face the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. Pittsburgh, this would go a long way. I mean, they don't secure a playoff berth if they win tonight, but they have three of the four nails in the lid.
And they're going to come out. Like, we saw how they come out against Detroit in Detroit. We saw how they come out against Washington at home against Washington. I expect them to
play a great game out against
you bet
Philly.
Against Sydney.
This is... my problem is I wanted Ottawa and Florida to get in, and...
Yes.
I'm nervous.
Wow.
Oh, and your buddy that was all over me the other day because I didn't include them in the playoff race?
Who's my buddy?
Gerard Gallant.
Oh, yeah.
So you phone up, say, Gerard just called me and he's ticked because Millard didn't include us in the playoff race. And then they lost last night and were eliminated.
He was too focused on your conversation versus his...
Why is he worried about me?
He should have been working in the meeting harder.
You guys don't even worry about me.
I tell you what, things derailed when he did the... interview the day of a game with us.
He did a heck of a job.
Okay.
I'm pretty proud of my two island boys, Dave Cameron and
George. Who talked him into that, but that's the last time he'll ever do that.
So Dave Cameron remains in contention. Need a win tonight.
If he gets in the playoffs, it'll be great because he'll do the Lobster Carnival banquet, he'll do Old Home Week banquet, he'll do the Oyster Festival in Time Valley.
And you will be there every step of the way.
And
I won't be there.
Boys and Girls Club.
Los Angeles and Edmonton.
Los Angeles, Edmonton, key game for the Kings. That one's on 1 East, Ontario Pacific. Arizona, Calgary, Sportsnet West, and the Islanders in Philadelphia and Sportsnet East, Ontario and Pacific. Part of an incredibly influential night in the National Hockey League. Thanks for watching and listening on Sportsnet and Hockey Central.